I was gone a couple weeks ago, and then it was Next Gen last Sunday. And by the way, Cassie did a fantastic job. Yes. And so, you know, I probably need to preach three sermons today just to catch up. Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11. Be still and know. Yeah. Now, this is not contradicting what was just spoken. This is setting you up for what was just spoken. Okay? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. That's what the scripture says. You want the really short version of this? We got this at the men's breakfast a little while back. Shut up and listen. Be still and know. Shut up and listen. And I'm going to talk a little further about that. Back in the 1700s and 1800s, there were more churches than preachers here in America, and there were circuit riders who would travel on horseback from congregation to congregation. There's a story about this one circuit rider was out riding and came upon a man working in his field, and he wanted to start a conversation and possibly invite the man to church, and the preacher called out and said, "Fine day, isn't it?" "It's fine for you," the man replied. "All you have to do is ride around on that horse thinking about God all day long, while I have to sweat here in this field and then walk home afterwards. I don't think it's right that you should have things so easy while I have to work so hard." And the preacher responded, "You're right, you do work hard in the fields, and I admire that. But you need to realize that the kind of work I do is a work of a different kind." "Yeah, sure," the man answered, "but it's not really work. All you do is ride around thinking about God all the time. That's not hard." "Oh, it's harder than you think," the minister answered. And then a thought occurred to him. "I tell you what, just to prove to you how difficult it can be to think about God, if you can think about God and nothing else for 1 minute, I will give you my horse." "You can't be serious," said the farmer, but the preacher assured him he was. "You're on," said the man, and immediately he sat down in silence. 10 seconds went by, then 20, then 25 seconds. About then, the farmer looked up at the minister and said, "Does that include the saddle?" Couldn't make it 1 minute. Truth is, people seem to be afraid of silence. They do anything to fill their lives with noise and avoid the emptiness. You start up your car, radio's on. Some people turn on TV first thing in the morning and just let it run all day long. Even if they're not watching, it's just background noise. Then there are people who walk or run in town, and guess what? They got earbuds listening to something. There's music and all kinds of noise that bombards us everywhere we go, you know, at department stores, at malls, at restaurants, at the grocery, even in elevators. People seem to feel the need to fill every waking moment with noise. I tend to do that. How about you? It's like we can't stand to be around silence. But here God says, be still and know. So how do we go about doing that? Well, let's just break it into little pieces. Be still. That means if you dig into the original language, there's more depth of meaning there, and it's let go, relax, withdraw, be quiet. It's all of those things. So let go and relax. Take a break from trying to fix everything and just listen to God. How many of us, when we're dealing with life's issues, we get all frantic trying to resolve them? Okay? I'm preaching to me, myself, today. Okay? I do that. But God says, be still. And Jesus withdrew to lonely places so that he could pray. Alone time is good for us to focus on God. And we need to be quiet. God speaks in that still, small voice. In other words, God whispers. And so we need to shut out all the other noise and just be still. I think it's significant that all of the greatly inspired men in the scripture were trained in the school of silence. Moses was 40 years in the desert in the loneliness of the sheep pastures. 40 years. And then again, 40 days on Mount Sinai. And when he came down, his face shone. Ezekiel went by the way of the river alone. Isaiah saw the king high and lifted up in his beauty when no one was with him. Daniel was accustomed to going into the quiet place of his chamber three times a day. Paul spent three lonely years in Arabia. John went to the island of Patmos before he could write the book of Revelation. It seems that all of these people needed that alone time with God before they could do what he called them to do. Be still. Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You know, sometimes we try to resolve all the difficulties we're going through. And, you know, and we should be looking for ways to solve problems. But there's also a time when we just need to sit quiet and see what God's going to do. Okay? And sometimes when we try to fix all of our own problems, we create more problems for ourselves. Be still. Psalm 37, 7 and 8 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret. That's hard for me. But that's what the scripture says. And then Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Salvation and strength comes from rest and quietness. Be still. Be still. Most parents' kids occasionally sit in their laps. You ever had a kid sit in your lap? Sometimes they come and they just want to sit there and chatter away. Whatever. Sometimes they're going to ask for things. But every once in a while, a child might crawl up into their parents' laps and just sit there. They don't want anything. They don't even want to talk. They just want to be with you, sit with you, just be held by you. And you'd do anything for that child. You might give them whatever they want, but there's nothing like the feeling of having a child that just wants to be with you. That one action says, I love you, I trust you, I feel safe with you. Now, when people pray, what do they usually do? Ask for things, exactly. We ask God for things. And really, there's nothing wrong with that because God says we don't receive because we don't ask. But can you imagine what it must be like for God when one of his children just wants to be with him? When a child of God just comes to him and wants nothing more than to silently sit in his lap. Can you imagine how that feels to God? It's my kid. He just wants to hang with me. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God, it says. No, that's to perceive, discern, to know by experience. Psalm 100 verse 3 says almost the same thing, says, know that the Lord is God. So when God calls us to be still, he's not asking us to do nothing. He's not asking us to focus on nothing. If you don't fill yourself with God, something else will take his place, and you will not like the end result. So be still and know that he is God. Be still long enough to know that you've actually connected with God. Have you ever tried to have a little quiet time, and then a little while later you walk away and feel like you didn't really accomplish anything? Yeah, maybe you didn't hang in there long enough to really connect with God. Spend time with him to really get to know him, how he speaks, how he directs. Listen and pay attention to even the circumstances in your life to see what God is up to. Know that he is God. I am God, he says. That's Elohim. He's the true God, the ruler, the judge. Remember who God is. Some of the names used throughout the scripture help fill in the blanks. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. He is Jehovah Tsebeth, the Lord of hosts, or Lord Almighty. He is Jehovah Rophika, the Lord that heals you. He is Jehovah Mekedesh, the Lord who makes holy. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Elyon, the Lord most high. Jehovah Roi, the Lord my shepherd. Remember who God is. Know who God is. And these just help us get a fuller understanding of who God really is. He's not just a superhero out there somewhere. He is the Lord. He is God. I already read Psalm 100, verse 3. The first part says, know that the Lord is God. But then it goes on and says, it is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Know who God is. He is your good shepherd. And he says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In other words, God is over and above all. Amongst all people of the earth, even the heathen, God will be raised up. Now, the earth proclaims the glory of God, but not all people do all the time. But one day, very soon, everybody will proclaim that he is the Lord. Philippians 2, 9 through 11, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That day is coming very soon. The Lord will be exalted. And he's the Lord of hosts who is with us. That is Yahweh, the self-existent one. That speaks of his power and authority. He's the one true God. He has all authority and he is in charge. He has life and being inherent in himself. Everything else derives its being from him. The Lord is the source of all existence and all reality. He's without beginning and without end because he always was, he is, and he always will be. He is the Lord. Some just need to be reminded today that he's in charge. And some probably need to hear that you need to let him be in charge. Okay? Others just need to be encouraged and remember that no matter what's going on in your life, he's still in charge. Okay? And he's the Lord of hosts. He has an army of angels. And they are ministering spirits set to serve believers, according to Hebrews 1:14. And Psalm 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. He's the Lord of hosts. And the scripture says he is with us. Thank you. I thought that was a really good point right there. He is with us. In other words, you are not alone. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You are not alone. And in John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. You are not alone. The Lord of hosts is with us. I know in our culture here in America today, we see the tide turning that people no longer respect believers in the church and they have no time for God. But we need to remember that we are not alone. God is with us. So be still. Be quiet. Remember who God is. He is in control. You are not alone. And then he says, speaks about the God of Jacob is our refuge. And when I was reading that, I thought, why the God of Jacob? Because, you know, the God of Abraham or Moses or David or Daniel, why specifically the God of Jacob? Just made me wonder, what is that all about? There's so many people that he could kind of identify with, but he identifies with Jacob. And so I got to looking into that, and I had a few thoughts, but I just was curious what others might say, and I found this from Dr. Harold J. Sala. And he says, when you think about the phrase, the God of Jacob, you're talking about someone who was less than a role model, less than a benchmark, not exactly someone who you would hold up as an example for your son to follow. When Jacob was finally absolutely desperate, he turned to God, and God changed his life. And this guy says, I'm glad that God chose to be identified as the God of Jacob, because if God could change Jacob's life, he can change yours and mine as well. I like that. It was the physical touch of the Almighty that changed Jacob's life. And when God changed his heart, he gave him a new name. Israel, the name borne by the nation today. That phrase, the God of Jacob, is a window of hope. The assurance that your past isn't important when you cry out in desperation and God touches your life. It's still true today. Your past does not have to define you. God of Jacob is our refuge. He's our high place. He's our stronghold. He's our defense. I've said many times before that God never promised that we would have no troubles in this world. On the contrary, he said that we would indeed have troubles. But what he does promise is to be with us in all of our troubles. He provides a refuge or a stronghold for us. But, you know, in times of war, strongholds can still be attacked. But if they're well-built and well-defended, they will withstand the attack. And God is the ultimate refuge, the ultimate stronghold. And so he will get you through whatever troubles you are facing. When the enemy attacks, you can stand strong because God is your refuge. Be still. And know that he is God. Get alone. Let go. Be quiet. Focus on God. Connect with him and listen. You know what that means in really practical terms? Shut off the TV. Silence the radio. And put your phone away. Okay. I generally have my phone with me, and there is a trend, and I see it when I watch you people. Phones everywhere. Sometimes you just set it down, shut it off. Oh, he's meddling now, man. He's getting in my business. No kidding. We need to just be still, shut everything else out. Once in a while, at least. I'm not advocating you go to a monastery and become a monk. And I don't think the Bible even prescribes that sort of a lifestyle. But we need to have moments when we just shut everything else out and we're only there for God. We need to have those moments, people. And you really can't do it with the TV blaring or while you're reading your Facebook notes. Those are distractions. Be still and know that He is God. He is the Lord who is in charge. He is with you. He's watching over you with an army of angels who are serving Him for your benefit. He is a safe refuge for you no matter what you are facing. It doesn't matter how bad your past was. If you'll turn to God, He will change you and He will be with you. And He can change your situation. He can even change your identity. Jacob became Israel. Simon became Peter. Saul became Paul, a shy, awkward boy who embarrassed easily and was intimidated by crowds, has become your pastor. Victims of abuse can become victorious in Christ. Liars can become lovers of God, and the weak can become strong. And we could just go on and on and on about how God changes people. And it all starts with letting go and being quiet with God. You see, when you focus on Him and see who He really is, He shows you who you can be. So we need to be still and know that He is God. And then this psalm ends with just that simple word, Selah. You know what that means? Pause. Rest, be quiet. It's like, and I say again, be still. There's a couple of songs that came to my mind, and they're kind of from the viewpoint of God is speaking to you. I want to read some of the lyrics. 10th Avenue sings a song called By Your Side. Here's some of the lyrics as though God is speaking to you. Why are you striving these days? Why are you trying to earn grace? Why are you crying? Let me lift up your face. Just don't turn away. Why are you looking for love? Why are you still searching as if I'm not enough? To where will you go, child? Tell me, where will you run? To where will you run? Because I'll be by your side wherever you fall. In the dead of night, whenever you call. And please don't fight these hands that are holding you. My hands are holding you. Be still and know that He is God. And then Casting Crowns sings a song called Just Be Held. Here's some of the lyrics. If your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you know I always have and I always will. And not a tear is wasted. In time, you'll understand. I'm painting beauty with the ashes. Your life is in my hands. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart. It's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Stop holding on and just be held. Be still and know that I am God. This practice is practically a lost form today. To really just be still. Now this actually happens best when you're alone in your own personal time. But we're going to practice just a little bit before we leave. So for just a very short time, we're going to do this verse. Be still and know that I am God. And begin. us. We are so accustomed to being busy and having noise all the time. Help us, Lord, to take a few moments and just be with you. Lord, help us to overcome our old habits and just be with you. Help us to be encouraged as we remember who you are. You are in charge, and we are not alone. And Lord, as we take those moments to be quiet and be still before you, fulfill your word that says that's where our strength will come. So renew our strength, God, I pray. Lord, I also ask that this would not be the only moment, but that each of us would find a time to just be with you. Every day would be great. Thank you, God. We want to know you more, and we want to walk with you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I think our silence there was less than 1 minute. Kind of tough, right? Just to be quiet? I'm only seeing a couple people shaking their heads. Most people are going, yeah, kind of hard. Be still and know that he is God. There's something about it. If you can really get to that place where, and you really take the time out to get alone with God, it will change you. I promise. It'll make a difference. Are there others who would agree with me? Yeah. So let's make the effort. Be still and know that he is God. All right. God's blessings on you. Have a great week. Hopefully we'll see some of you or most of you here this afternoon about 2:30 as we transform the church into Athens. See you later.